a faithful God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege to be in God's presence this morning again, to sing praises to His name and to enumerate the goodness of God as we experience Him in every facets of our lives. Every challenges that we face, every hurdles we face, every obstacles we face, they serve to remind us that our God is greater and powerful than any forces that are at work against our life. Praise God. We're going to turn to the scripture and we will continue our theme, which is church, it's His house, and our subtitle being Don't Quit. Don't quit. And I read from 1 Timothy 1 chapter, 1st chapter, verse 12. Praise God. And we're going to read verse 3 also. First, I will read verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I read 12 also. And I thank Christ Jesus of our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those are the verses we might touch. If time permits, we might touch a few more. Father, we are grateful to you for your word. We pray that you will speak into our lives. Breathe life, Father. Lord, we pray that we will be revived and rejuvenated to press on into every realms that God has ordained for us. Every resistance to the preaching of God's word, we bind them in Jesus' name. Every critical spirit, be stilled in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Praise God. Be seated. We continue with our subtitle, Don't Quit. Praise the Lord. Anyone who is involved in ministry, whether you are involved in full-time ministry or you want to call it part-time ministry, we all face from time to time burnouts, or we all face from time to time challenges which would put a thought in our heart that we want to hit the pause button, or hit the eject button. Hit the pause button would be to stall, to pause, to rethink, to recalibrate ourselves. Hitting the eject button is completely getting out of the sea. Paul, writing to his mentee, tells him, listen, remain in Ephesus. Don't call it off. Don't quit. The week before, we did mention what might be the reasons that Timothy might have pondered about calling it off, or things that might have given him reasons not to remain in Ephesus. We read from the epistle, by nature he was reserved and timid. Could it be that he was intimidated, or the inhibitions that he had in his life? Could it be his mixed heritage, or the difficulties and challenges that he was experiencing in his life? When you face these kind of experiences, you doubt, you even come to a point where you doubt the calling. And then to add it all, there were so many different kinds of doctrines that were swirling around in Ephesus, which made all the more harder for Timothy not only to stand his ground, but to defend the doctrine or the gospel that was given to him. So Paul says, listen, don't quit. Don't give up. Praise the Lord. You need to continue. And Paul gives ample reasons why he needs to continue. Number one, he says, listen, you're a man with an assignment. Every child of God is a person with an assignment. Why? Because there is a purpose behind each and every one of our calls. All of our calls are not the same. Praise the Lord. God has called all of us with a high calling, with a holy calling, with a heavenly calling. But in the reality, in the practical sense, all of our assignments may differ. It may differ in what God entrusts us. It may differ in the arenas that God posts us. It may differ in the timings or in the seasons that you are in. What you would be doing in one season might not be necessarily what you'll be doing in the next season. Or what has been entrusted to you might also be a lifelong assignment. It is all based on God's calling for you. So we need to understand the difference. If we are diligent in seeking the face of the Lord and to know the mind of God concerning our lives, the will of God concerning our lives, indeed, God will make it known to us in so many different ways. Praise the Lord. All right. So Paul is telling Timothy, listen, there are different kinds of doctrines that are running around. You need to stand your ground and you need to present the right doctrine as Paul presented it or passed on to Timothy, whom he considers to be faithful, because his instruction to Timothy is find faithful men and entrust them with this assignment, because you cannot just simply take it lightly. Praise the Lord. Why doctrine is very, very important. You cannot lighten it. You cannot dilute it. You cannot change it. Praise the Lord. Because Paul, writing to Galatians, he tells them, listen, there is another gospel that is being peddled. There is another Jesus that is being presented. There is another way that is being presented. And we need to know, what is the impact of another Jesus, another gospel, another way? What is the impact? It might look very insignificant. It might be a slight deviation, which will not be very clear in the beginning. Slight deviation that may lead to detours, that may lead to derailments, and finally, it may deflect our destiny and our destination. Let me repeat that. Praise the Lord. Slight deviation from the doctrines that leads to detours and derailments that can deflect us from our destiny and destination in Christ Jesus. It's not very obvious. It's not upfront. It's never obvious. One day, we were on a mission trip, myself and Tams, and we were traveling in a very remote place, and we did not know how to reach that destiny. So every crossroads, we will pause and we will ask for the way. This is a life lesson for me. Every crossroad, we would pause and we would ask someone, we would say, we want to go to Chalon. That was the place that we were going. And everybody said, Chalon, go straight. All right. So after multiple crossroads, everybody kept saying, go straight, go straight, go straight. Everybody only had one answer. And I started scratching my head and said, go straight all the time. Are we in the right direction? Who knows? You don't know. You're just going to take people's advice and keep going because you don't know. And we didn't have no GPS. This was going into a remote place. This was probably 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. So we are traveling, and finally we came to a final crossroad, and we stopped again. And asked this guy, he said, go straight, don't worry about it, just keep going straight. So finally we kept miles, we went straight. There was a straight road, there was no turn anywhere, no more crossroads. We traveled miles, and finally, guess where we came? Right in front of an endless swamp. go straight. Somewhere, someone conned us. You know, sometimes people do it intentionally. Sometimes people do it unintentionally. But this, as far as the Bible is concerned, the doctrines are concerned, you cannot afford to go wrong. If you go wrong, it will impact your destiny. Praise the Lord. It is very important that we stand by the truth of the Scripture. Praise the Lord. So Paul is advising him, be strong, be strong. And then we come to the 12th verse. He's saying, to a spiritual son, he says, learn from my experience. His calling, he's talking about his calling. Paul's calling. Paul is saying that God is the one who enabled me. In other words, learn from this. God is the one who enables you, Timothy. Or God is the one who enables us for our God-given roles and assignment. When we know that truth, it gives it us the tenacity, the stamina, the perseverance to press on, because this is not an easy task. He's telling him, listen, he is the one, God is the one who enables us. He's the great enabler. He's the one who empowers us to fulfill the task that God gives to us. And we pulled out a few examples from the Old Testament. Gideon, go with this strength. Habakkuk, this is what it says. God, you strengthen my feet to climb the heights. Nehemiah, who faced challenge in the God-given assignment, how he used the spade and the sword to complete the work that was before him. So when we are talking about God enabling us, what is he enabling us for? He's enabling us for ministry. He's enabling us for the assignment that God gives. And it is very important that we understand the nature of what God calls each and every one of us for. Paul was not doubtful about what God had called him. Paul had come to know through his experience that Jesus Christ never gives a man a task to do without also giving him the power and the enablement to fulfill that task. Paul was very candid. Paul would never say, look what I have done. But it's always, see what Christ has enabled me, empowered me to do so. Citing the quotation of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 10, the latter part, and I read it out. This is how Paul puts it. For I have worked harder than any other apostle. Listen, he's saying, I have worked harder than any other apostle. So when it comes to the discipline of doing the assignment, fulfilling that role, we have to put in every ounce of energy, every sweat that we have to put, every drop of sweat, every drop of tear, every ounce of energy has to be employed in this God-given task. Paul says, listen, I have worked harder than any other apostle. But he doesn't stop there. Listen what he says. Yet it was not I, but God was working through me by his grace. Wow. Praise God. God is our enabler. Regardless of what role you are playing, what assignment that you are doing, you need to take a step backwards, stand before God and acknowledge and say it with your mouth, Lord, you are my enabler. I'm going to put every ounce of strength, every ounce of energy in this assignment that you have given me. And even when I do so, I do acknowledge that it is not me, but His power working through me. Do you know what happens when God uses us beyond our own imagination? When you acknowledge that it is His power working through us, what happens is it keeps our feet on the ground, lest we are puffed up with pride. Paul says, listen, God was working through me by His grace. And I want to put a quote that William Barclay puts it. This is how it goes, and I quote, "No man is good enough or strong enough or pure enough or wise enough to be a servant of Christ," end quote. No man is good enough or strong enough or pure enough or wise enough to be a servant of Christ. We need grace from above. Praise the Lord. We need grace from above. Praise God. Listen, this is very important for us to understand this, right? Number one, He is the one who enables us. Number two, Paul says, listen, God counted me faithful and entrusted this ministry to me. Praise the Lord. God counted me faithful. Now, when you understand the scripture, we sang about the faithfulness of God. God, you are faithful. I thank God that we can glean from the scriptures citations which will help us to bank on the faithfulness of God. Then we need to move into our own lives, our own life experiences, and repeat them, because that also enforces, praise the Lord, the promises of God that we are experienced. More than anything else, we need to bank on the person of Christ who is faithful. He is faithful, praise the Lord. The one who has called us is faithful. We can bank on the promises of God. Now, this faithful God, what He does is He considers us faithful and entrusts us with service and ministry. Praise the Lord. Listen to me carefully, church. Praise the Lord. Don't for a second think that all ministry and all assignments and all roles are on the pulpit and on the stage, regardless of what it is. Praise the Lord. That's a topic for another season. I have mentioned it in the past also. Now, coming back, praise the Lord. What God, who is faithful, entrusts us with ministry, with service, with assignments, with talents, with abilities, counting us as faithful. Praise the Lord. So when you read and understand scripture, there is faithfulness before the fact and after the fact. I'll explain it. What is this before the fact? Before the fact is before I am proven faithful. Before I am proven faithful, God counts me faithful and assigns me assignments. Praise the Lord. Now, those who have received this trust, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, those who have received this trust, this stewardship, should prove themselves faithful. One is before, one is after. Praise the Lord. Those who show or prove themselves faithful, to them, praise the Lord, He is going to add more roles and assignments. I'll come to that also. Praise the Lord. So before and after. Praise the Lord. Before and after. Everyone who is before the Lord, whatever you are doing for the Lord, you should pray. And this is one of my prayers. Lord, when I stand before you one day, I want to hear you speaking over me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many. Praise the Lord. It's not the desire to be the ruler over many. When you take into consideration, God Almighty even considered me, considered us to be part, to be partnering in the kingdom building process, that God would consider me, that humbles me. And I want to be before God when he tells me, you have been faithful over few things, over little things, over small things. That should be the desire and the drive and the passion of everyone who is involved in any level of ministry. So Paul's saying that God has considered me faithful, and he has what? He has entrusted me with this, praise the Lord, this assignment. Listen. God gives all of us a fair shake. Listen, God gives all of us a fair shake. God gives all of us, not the same shake, a fair shake. What does that mean? Praise the Lord. It was not only that Christ forgave Paul, praise the Lord, but also considered him faithful. In other words, trusted him with a role or a ministry. Now I want you to look at our own lives, right? See, if our lives, if our past is riddled with holes, if our past is riddled with failures, if our past is riddled with calamities, praise the Lord, and if we have a long rap sheet, I want to tell you, the world will look at me and you and will say, you're incompetent and you're disqualified for an assignment. That's how the world treats. That's a reality. And therefore, I want to tell my young brothers and young sisters, be careful how you conduct your life, how you conduct your business. You don't want to end up making foolish moves in life and end up with a rap sheet, end up with a record, because even your government, and we are, I thank God for our government, I thank God for America, even our government will not give you a chance. They will not give you a federal job or any government job if you have a record. All right, so be careful. Yesterday we were talking among the young men, and one of them said that we got to be careful in this day and age. You don't know, it's cameras all over the place. You would only know when you get a ticket. That's the least you can pay off and get off. But if you're caught doing something really wrong and you have been picked on a camera, you are in hot water. And the government won't give you a second chance. The world will not give you a second chance. But, praise the Lord, Paul says, regardless of who I was, he considered me faithful and entrusted his ministry to me. Paul puts it like this. I don't want anybody to misinterpret. He says all these things that he did against Christ, and he said, all this I did by ignorance. I was ignorant about it. Praise the Lord. And God, he just wiped that slate clean, and he gave me, entrusted me with his ministry. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? Will not God forgive me those errors and gross sins that I have committed intentionally? If you repent, he will forgive you. There is no doubt about it. So, as one who has entrusted us with the ministry, he counted me faithful. Praise the Lord. Up front, he counted me faithful. Now, those who are counted as faithful should prove their faithfulness, praise the Lord, should prove our faithfulness. So, listen, when we are involved in God's work, the ethos and the ethics and the discipline that governs our life should be scriptural. It's very important. It's very important. What governs Our ethos, our ethics, our discipline should be scriptural. We cannot bring that worldly standards which are marred by sin. In other words, backstabbing, double crossing, talking behind back. All these things are worldly in nature. Paul James puts it like worldly wisdom, devilish wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure and lovely. In other words, in our work that we do, praise the Lord, we should be governed with a higher and a loftier godly principles. This is very important. Anything other than godly principles will not cut before God. It won't. Okay? Now, let's move on. So, faithful in what? Paul writing to Timothy says, preach the word in season and, praise the Lord, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Preach the word. Well, what else are you preaching? Well, you have to make sure that you are preaching the word. Be faithful in preaching the word. Now listen, the message, regardless of what culture we live in, the message cannot change, but the methods can change. Praise the Lord. The method that you present the message can change. You can adapt to new methods. Last night, we were with the young men, in the men's meeting, and the message was presented in a different method, but it was the same truth presented in a different method. So the methods can change, but the message cannot change. It's very important. So when we take the message and the method, we have to make sure that the method that we employ does not dilute or deviate us from the truth of the message. It is very important. I have a niece who is talented. She can use her talents like a ventriloquist. She can use that talent and she uses that to minister to the children. So God has embedded us with different talents. You need to see that talents and the skills that God has embedded you with. That is what God wants you to start stirring up. So being faithful, praise the Lord, in the ministry. Faithful, twofold, praise the Lord. One, God word. Number two, man word. Number one, God word. Faithful to God, who is faithful, who has entrusted us with a ministry, considering us as faithful. So to that person who has entrusted me and counted me faithful, I need to be faithful to him. How can I be faithful to him? Praise the Lord. This is how the prophet puts it, and I'm going to read it. Isaiah 66, 2. My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. Now look carefully. Listen to them. Next part. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts and who trembles at my word. Praise the Lord. Faithful to God and his word. Praise the Lord. Trembles at my word means we stand in awe before God's word. Praise the Lord. Realizing the scriptures are sacred scriptures. Everything in the scripture is important. None of the commands of Christ are optional in nature. None of the commands in the scripture is optional. They are mandated. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we take some lightly. We give more importance to certain and we look at things lightly. So being faithful means one who is faithful to God and to his word. That is God's word. Number two, man word. Praise the Lord. Faithful to those who we are ministering. Praise the Lord. That, what does that mean? That means speaking the truth in love. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we want to undercut, or we want to overlook, or we want to wink, or we want to look the other way. That is not being faithful to the scripture. So faithful to the family of God. God has placed this within the family of God. And God wants us to be faithful to each other. Praise the Lord. How beautifully Paul puts it to the young man Timothy, who was new into ministry. Listen, in dealing with those he was ministering to, Paul puts it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, "Do not sharply reprimand an older man, but appeal to him as you would to a father." Wow. Praise the Lord. Let me repeat. Do not sharply reprimand an older man, but appeal to him as you would to a father, to a younger man as a brother, to an older woman as mother, to a younger woman as sisters in all purity, being careful to maintain appropriate relationships. Honor and help those widows who are truly widowed. So in the interpersonal ministry, see, in ministry, we all are interacting with each other. What are we talking about? We're talking about the main theme is how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, all right? So the ministry that God entrusts us, God wants us to be faithful to God and to his word. God wants us to be faithful in our interpersonal ministry, interacting with each other. Praise the Lord. You can say the same thing in love, or you can say the same thing in an obnoxious way. Praise the Lord. Of course, when you repeat something in love multiple times, there will be time when you have to take a stern stand, and that's part of your role. But how we deal with each other, faithfulness in that aspect is very important. Faithful to the body of Christ in what? In standing in gap. Listen to me, guys, whether you are teaching a Sunday school class, whether you are involved in Awana ministry or youth ministry, I want to tell you, you have a responsibility towards those people that you are ministering to. Praise God. You have to take them in the presence of God in prayer. Hello. Don't matter whether it's 5, 2, 1, 10, 20, 50, 100, 500, God wants you to carry them into his presence in prayer. Praise God. In the Old Testament, there is a beautiful picture. The high priest had a vest, and within the high priest's vest, there were 12 stones that were embedded on the vest. And this each stone represented each tribe of Israel. And when the high priest entered into the holies of holies, he was representing the 12 tribes of Israel before God. Likewise, everyone was ministering in any capacity. Praise the Lord. Whoever you are ministering to, you carry them in your heart in prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Being faithful in the assignment that God gives. Being faithful in dealing with funds and money. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? That means whatever funds that you are handling, you have to be faithful. Praise the Lord. The funds that you are handling for the church, you have to handle it with the same discipline of you handling your money. Praise the Lord. Some people are very stingy with their money, but very liberal with the church. No, it can't be like that. That doesn't mean that you become stingy when you spend for the church. That does not mean. You have to employ the same discipline. Praise the Lord. When it's your money, that's the least that is expected. What God expects is a higher standard. A higher standard. It's God's money. What does that mean? It's God's money. Praise the Lord. When I put my offering, when I put my tithes in the bucket, that minute when it is transferred, released from my hand into the offering basket, it's not mine anymore. It's not yours anymore. till you released, till you had it, it was yours. When you put it in the basket and you release it, it's not yours. It's his. That's number one lesson. Number two lesson. When you are handling everybody's collection, when you are handling it anyway, don't think that only the treasurer handles the money. You could be a department head. You could be handling so many other things. Wherever we are, God wants us to be faithful stewards. Faithful stewards. Praise the Lord. Because all of this God takes into consideration. Praise the Lord. Giving is important. Praise the Lord. Spending is also important. Praise the Lord. Some people don't want to give at all. Praise the Lord. They don't want to let go. Let go. Okay, I'll talk about it some other day. I don't want to get into it. But God wants us to let go. God wants us to let go. You know what you're letting go? You know what you're letting go? What God has given you. Praise the Lord. So we'll come to that some other day. I don't want to get into it because I might not be able to get out of it. All right, let's move on. Praise the Lord. He says, God has appointed me to this service, so I need to be faithful. Now, this is very important, right? Service. God has appointed us to the ministry. Paul is not saying that God has appointed me to prominence. Hello? He's not saying God appointed me to prominence. He's not saying God has appointed me to this honorable position. He's saying God has appointed me to this service. Hello? Praise the Lord. You and I are in service. Servants of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. Servants of the Most High God. He never thought he was appointed as a leader or to prominence. He was saved to serve. Servant leadership is a very common used terminology in Christendom today. Praise the Lord. But we need to get at the real picture. In Paul's time, the Romans' time, when the Spartan won a victory in game, you know what was his reward? When he won a victory in a game, his reward was he could stand before the king in battle. Hello. Praise the Lord. After striving hard, after disciplining themselves, when they won the game, when they're victorious, their reward was they could stand before the king in battle. Do you know what that means? That equates to the reward being to serve and, if need, die for the king. Do you think God has called us for anything less? We are in his service. I'll touch that a little later. We are in his service. Praise the Lord. So as we are being appointed to this service, praise the Lord, we are serving God, the great King, and his people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul gives another reason why he should not quit. Listen, you should not quit because it is God who has put you into ministry. This is very important that we understand. Praise the Lord. God puts us into ministry. There are people who are appointed by God. There are people who are appointed by men. There are people who are self-appointed. We need to know that God places us where and what for and what is the assignment that God has given us. Praise the Lord. We are not appointed by men. We are appointed by God. How far does this appointment play a role? I want somebody to read Acts 17:26, please. Acts 17:26. We should know this verse because I quoted this verse many times.
And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth.
Hmm.
Having determined
their appointed times
and the boundaries of their habitation.
Whoa. Really? Really? God has determined and appointed a time and boundaries of their habitation. Now, that's why when people come to me and very casually say, oh, Pastor, we are moving out. I said, okay, did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? It's very important that you know where God has placed you. Praise the Lord. Because where God places you, there is a reason behind it. In this season, in this time, in this place, do you believe that God has placed you here? And if so, it's not an accident. It's not an abstract. It is intentional by God, who's involved in the intricate details of our lives. This is very important. In my life, I know it is very important. In my lifetime, in my very short lifetime, I had offers where I could have placed myself away from this place. And hindsight, I look back and I always thank God that I paused to ask God for direction and wisdom, lest I find myself in a place of not God's choice. This is very important. It's not only for people in ministry. Praise the Lord. I have multiple experiences in my life where I had turned down offers which would have put me in a different place, in a different city, doing something else. And looking back today, I realize if I would have chosen that path, I would have forfeited what God wanted to do in me, for me, and through me. This is true for every one of us. It's not only for people who are involved in full-time ministry. That's why God's people should pause. Don't be in a rush to jump to offers. Don't be in a rush to grab that which looks good. In every decision-making process, ask for His guidance. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lead not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall, not He might, He shall direct your path. Praise the Lord. Don't quit. Why you should not quit, Timothy? Paul puts it like this in 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Whoa! What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, listen, God has spoken over your life through prophetic utterance, and you align yourself to what has been pronounced over your life, so that you can wage a good warfare. Praise the Lord. Meaning, if God has spoken over your life, you align in that arena and see the manifestation of His grace upon your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One last point and I'll conclude. Don't quit. Why? Paul puts it like this. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be wise, be honor, glory forever and ever. Amen. Why do not quit? Because you are in a royal service. Praise the Lord. Don't take this like I'm working for the church. Cornerstone. IPA. Oh, I'm doing something. And I'd like to get involved. Or, you know, I want to just brush my skills in. All those things are secondary. Brushing your skills, it will happen. Definitely will happen. The more you use yourself for the glory of God, you will get better and better and better. But that's not the intention. The intention is you're serving the King. You are in His service. Praise the Lord. You are in His service. Praise the Lord. You know, the Royal Mail, England, United Kingdom. They have an inscription on every mail, every package they send. It says IHMS, in His Majesty's Service, or in Her Majesty's Service. You know, you don't have to be part of M16. You don't have to be Mr. Bond to be in his Majesty's service. You are where you are in His Majesty's service. When that gets clouded, that's when bickering starts. That's when we start murmuring. That's when we become discontent in what God has entrusted us. What Paul did was he took what God gave him and he ran with it. He took the very little God gave him and he ran with it. When you take what God gives and you start running with it, you're going to see as you move forward, you might be moving forward through a channel. The channel will start opening wide before you. But if we just stand and say, hey, it's a narrow way. It's a narrow opening. It's a small opening. It's like a tunnel opening. No. If God has entrusted you with something, you run with it. You run through the tunnel because there is an end to the tunnel. There is light and it's going to have a broader, wider, higher scoped opening for you. That's proven in the scripture over and over and over and over and over again. But for that to happen, you and I need to come to that place where we conclude that we are in royal service. Praise the Lord. Royal service. Feel like giving up? Feel like throwing the towel? Feel like quitting? Don't quit. Why? Why don't quit? It's not just about me and us and ours. Why? Number one, lives are in balance. Praise the Lord. Eternity awaits every mankind. And you are placed by the eternal King in an assignment. Praise the Lord. To impact your sphere of influence. Don't worry about somebody else. What is your sphere of influence? 1, 2, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100,000, whatever that is. That is your sphere of influence. And lives hang in balance. Destinies need to be made. Lives need to be rewritten. Dreams need to be fulfilled. Destinies has to be reached. People have to reach the destination. God has placed you. Praise the Lord, in that position, in that role. Praise the Lord. The question is, would you look at yourself and ask yourself, Lord, am I in the Majesty's service? Praise the Lord. Are you serving? When you are serving, do you tell yourself? When we lose that picture, we will have so many reasons to become calloused, become indifferent. You can do things, but you are not, your heart is not there. You're not driven by that passion for Jesus. We don't want to find ourselves in that place, in that space. So what do? We come to that place and we say, Lord, you are King Eternal. Wow, you chose me. Praise God. You chose me to do this. I want to be faithful. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, as you stay faithful, what is in store for you is mind-boggling. Praise God. So, this day, make a commitment. Lord, I'm not going to call it quits. I'm going to stay put. I'm going to fulfill the role, the assignment that you've given me. When I do so, I will be faithful to God and to His word. When I do so, I will use the sacred scripture as a standard to govern myself and to govern the things of God. All eyes closed. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you for your word. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. What a privilege, Lord, that we are in your service. Help us to love you, and we pray that we will be faithful to what God has called us, regardless of what the terrain and the season that we are in. We want to live a life that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray.